You.
Amen.
You. Turn to someone and just say, you. The Holy Spirit doesn't come for Himself. He comes for us.
Amen.
We come for various reasons. We come because we're hungry for God. We come maybe because we're hungry for fellowship. We come because we need healing. We come because we need encouragement. We come because we need to be recognized to make us feel better. We come for a lot of reasons, and another reason we come is to bless people. We come to bless. Do you ever hear anyone say, I change churches because pastor doesn't feed me anymore? But I tell you what, sometimes we're not fed because we don't empty out ministering or being a light for Christ, and there's no place to receive. I had him, of course, we're transit society in churches as well. And I had a man come by to my church one time, and he says, I would like to become a men's minister and minister to your men in the church, a men's leader. I said, where are you coming from? And he told me the church he was coming from, a nice church. I knew the pastor quite well. Assemblies of God Church, wonderful church. And I told him, I said, why are you coming? Now, should a pastor ask somebody that? Yes, absolutely. Why are you coming? And, of course, I asked him in the right spirit, not a challenging. But if I'm going to have someone working in my church, I think I'd like to know a little about the past. And so I said, he says, well, I didn't agree with the pastor over something, and so you and the pastor didn't get along. I said, tell you what, you go back and you make it right with your pastor. You guys work it out, then come on back, and I can use you. I never did see him again. So sometimes we come to church for various reasons, but the big reason is this. We are a dying, living people. We die. When we come to Christ, we die and live. The old guy. Did you ever have your past to haunt you any before you were a Christian? I had a couple of women visited our church one time, and the first time they were there, and after service they stood around the aisle waiting for me to get to them and so just to speak, and so I spoke to them, and they seemed to be kind of special, or let's say unusual, and like if they were there on a mission, and real nice, great ladies seemed like it. And they asked me something about rather personal question, and spiritual. And I said, I have just been haunted with these thoughts of things that I did before I was saved. And I said, want you to pray with me that God will help me through that. They said, well, God doesn't know what you're talking about. What? God, he forgot it. When you got saved, he forgot it. Wow. I haven't forgotten that little thing they told me. You might think somebody that's been preaching a long time knows it all. I tell you what, the longer I live, the more I preach, the less I know. I'm just realizing it more. But once in a while, the devil will throw something at me of my past. And then I'll say, God doesn't know what you're talking about, so I'm not listening either. I don't know if you've ever faced anything like that, but remember, that person died. And so what I say is, I say, but Lord, that person's dead. I'm glad that person's dead. That's not me. That's somebody else that died. That was for you. I don't know which one of you. Are these my glasses? Boy, I have a pair just like them. But I wasn't up here last time I visited with you a few weeks ago. I sat in the congregation. I didn't come up here, so those can't be mine, even though they look like them. I love your pastor and his wonderful wife. They are very special. Of course, you know that. I don't have to tell you that. But while they're not here, now, I told you that while he was here so that he would think that I like him. But I'm telling you that now because I do like them and have a lot of confidence. He's on my board, ministry board. Then we have a meeting tomorrow, by the way. And you can pray about that sometime too. But Joe had been really sick this morning. Did you mention that? You did not. Okay, then I want us to pray for her and him. He came to the Sunday school class and said to, he said, I'm going to leave it with you. But he didn't tell me what that meant. And I've been trying to figure all the way through the service. What did he mean? He's going to skip out on me and leave it with me. Well, that meant that he trusted me. He didn't care what I do. But he can take care of Joe. And I told him to take care of Joe. That's right. So why don't we stand and join hands across this place. Let's pray for your pastor's wife. She's a great lady. You need her. She needs you. And I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for Chuck and Joe. Lord, we know he's a great pastor, and we know he is because of your help and because of Joe and her support. We thank you for her, and I pray now in the name of Jesus, I pray you would reach down and touch her where she is and touch her where she's hurting. Touch her in her need in the name of Jesus that she may be healed for your glory. And I thank you for it. Thank you for your great people here today. Thank you, Lord, for those who have come and those who are here pouring out their heart. If there be any in this congregation this morning that doesn't know what it's like to have a personal relationship experience with you, in being born again and being saved and being redeemed and or being converted, whatever they want to call it. If they haven't had that experience, I pray they would not leave this building until that happens. And I pray, God, for encouragement today for those who are here this morning with special needs. I pray, Lord, for those here with physical needs, those here with employment needs, those here with financial needs. God, you are our God and we are here for you. Thank you for being here for us in Jesus' holy name, and help us to say what we need to say at the right way, at the right time, for your will. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody says, praise the Lord. Now, I do feel at home here in church. You people, I can just tell that. Well, let's just say I feel a real welcome and just feel like I'm one of you. Of course, Chuck mentions every time I come, he mentions when we first met, but he didn't tell you how long ago that was. I'm going to tell you. That was March 1977 in Seoul, Korea. And he told you many times how we met, so I'm going to tell you that again. But ever since then, he and I have been friends and we've appreciated him, and he's done a lot. What was it that our teacher said in class this morning? Said the 16 people that come to my class, even though they don't get here at the same time. I thought, well, Chuck, pastoring, you say, how many people do you have? You don't find that out counting the congregation, because all the people are not here all the time, and you don't know how many people you have. The important thing is that you have your people, you train your people, they reach out. So how big is this church? It reaches around the world, doesn't it? You've had people go from this church in this town around the world. How big is your church? It's around the world. Amen. Thank God for your pastor. I love him so much and his lovely wife. I do have a pair of bifocal glasses. They cost the same as these. Cost a buck down at the dollar store. But I couldn't find them this morning. So pardon me if I have to look over my glasses. Those, I can look through them. But you're kind of a blur here when I look through them. So look at me real straight and get used to me so you won't be looking at me when I'm talking. The scripture I want to refer to, and you don't have to turn to it, it's so short, most of you know it, Luke 19 and 10. Jesus was sent here for a purpose. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came. He came for a purpose. Did he come for himself? Well, in a sense, maybe he did. He come because he loved us. So in a sense, the Bible is full of things and that tell us that I don't want to use the word selfish because you may misunderstand it. We may not be selfish, but for lack of a better word, until I get a higher education, that will be all right. But we want to be satisfied. We do things for our own good, right? Lots and lots of things for us. Now look at the scripture. The scripture is full of message to us. If we will do so-and-so, then God will do so-and-so. So he knows that's built in. What's in it for me? Yeah, that's a good sermon title. I think one of these days I may preach a sermon. What's in it for me? That's a long sermon. But we come to church because we want to go to heaven. Bottom line. I've heard preachers say this, and I don't like it every time they say it. If there wasn't a heaven to go to, I'd still serve God, and I would still live right, and because I love him. You know, I'm not sure I believe that. If there was no heaven and there was no hell, I probably would make a few changes. I wouldn't be a bad guy, but I sure would be messed up if there was no heaven. Don't tell me that if there's never a heaven, that's all right. It's still worth it. Well, God must have thought it wasn't worth it because he tells us over and over and over and over and over again, if you live right, you get something at the end of it. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Did you know that, I know you get good preaching. I heard your pastor preach. I think it's the first time I heard him preach was when I was here a few weeks ago. I come to check him out, be sure he was giving you the right thing. He is. You hear a lot of wonderful preaching. You hear a lot of anointed preaching. You get some great preachers through or even visiting. So I kept thinking for several days. I had message ready, but I didn't feel comfortable. So I said, I want to tell stories. I want to tell stories. Do you ever remember preacher come to your church and he preach and he leaves and you don't remember much about the sermon, but you remember the story within the sermon. You remember his experience he told you, like the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul told lots of stories. Luke told big stories. Jesus told stories. And so I thought, well, why can't I tell stories? course, my mama said he used to tell a lot of stories when I was small. But this is a different kind. These are true stories I want to tell you and share with you. They just keep going over, and they're rich things that God has blessed with, and I want to tell people. So I want to tell you a couple of stories maybe this morning. Is that okay? I was going to get the pastor's permission, but he didn't hang around long enough. They told stories. Now, another scripture, I want to read that scripture again. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Jesus said in John 20 and 21, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. He told stories. But he sends us to seek the lost. We know we can't, we know we can't save them. We can bring them to the Savior with the help of the Holy Spirit. So remember that. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I want to share with you a couple of exciting things. That might help. I never do that, but this is not a never. That might be just here. Yes, please. That might be just what I needed. I'm sorry. While living in Germany and working with the American military, that's how I met your pastor, by the way, was I was in Korea on working for ministry to the military in Church of God. But we lived in Germany for several years. I was the headquarters of our ministry to the military for the Church of God throughout the European area. Every fall, we would have a servicemen's retreat. It was almost always, well, when I was there all but one time, it was in Berchtesgaden, which is a fantastic place, and in a hotel called the General Walker Hotel. Now, it sounds a little American, doesn't it? That's because General Walker was in charge when we took the place over. And so, of course, the Germans had it back, but that's where we had our retreat. And one year, we couldn't have our retreat there for some kind of scheduling problem. So we had the retreat at Lake Kimsey. How many of you heard of Lake Kimsey? It's on the way to Munich, and it's on the Autobahn, and a beautiful lake. You get on a boat and you ride out, and there's an island way out in the lake where there's a castle and Ludwig had built and partially. But right on the edge of the lake, there was a retreat house, a building. When I say on the edge of the lake, I mean that if you go out the back door, there's a sort of a platform, and you walk down the platform, down steps, into the lake. Lake Kimsey, a huge lake. That's where we had our retreat. There was a gathering area inside, and had fantastic, fantastic happening. Let me show you. The American servicemen and women, most of them are young people. And a lot of those men and girls, mostly men, a lot of them have never been around Pentecost, and then they come and get involved with us over there in Pentecost, and they didn't know how to act. They didn't know what to do when the Spirit would come over them, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what to do. Of course, when they received the baptism, they spoke in tongues. They didn't know that they were supposed to do that. Of course, the Spirit does that through them. And so it's so exciting. All this is new to them. And so it's just 90 miles an hour all the time in that ministry. So here we are at the lake. We're having service. The minister's preaching. He makes an altar call, and people come to the altar, some to be saved, some to be filled with the Spirit, some for various reasons, and then people to pray with them. And people were praying all over the place. Had several hundred people there, and they were praying all over the place. And I was standing up front and ministering people here and there. And one of the young soldiers came up to me, and he says, "Brother Strickland," yes, he says, "I want to be baptized." I said, "Fine." I'd seen him back there praying. I thought he was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, "That's fine. You called him by name." He said, "You just keep praying." He said, "The Lord will baptize you." He said, No. I want to be baptized in water." I said, "Well, we'll get that done one of these days." No. He said, "I want right now." Did I have my baptizing clothes on? I did. I had been to Switzerland before, and that double knit suits had come out, and I was wearing one. And I thought, well, I'll find out if I baptize this guy in the lake, and then my knees are showing because this suit shrinks, then it's not a good suit. So I took my coat off, and believe it or not, we went out the back door. I walked down. We both walked down into the water deep enough, and I baptized him right there. And we came back in. He hit the altar soaked and just prayed, and God blessed him. And what a great time. After the retreat was over, we normally baptize after the retreat's over. And so when it was over, we baptized again. But this time, it was kind of around where you walk into the water from the ground down like you normally do. And so we had 20 more people to be baptized. So a lot of them had just gotten saved there. And so they came, and I was in front. I wanted to baptize all of them. I just loved them so much. And I wanted to baptize them all, so I didn't have any help as far as baptizing, but I had help in the structure. But the first person, they were all lined up. The first person in the water, I put him under the water. He come up speaking in tongues. God baptized with the Holy Spirit while he was under the water. He come up shouting, and in fact, two of the guys did that. And then others, now remember, a lot of these guys never been around Pentecost, and they didn't realize that Pentecost is kind of emotional at times. Other times, this morning in the service this morning, there were beautiful, beautiful moments of quiet and blessings of the Lord. We believe from one end of the spectrum to the other, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so they just kept coming in. Then one of the guys started shouting under the water. I just turned him loose. I did. I just, after baptizing him, I said, you know, I baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I put him under, and he carries on and starts shouting. I turned him loose and left him under the water. And three or four of them did that. We had a grand time, just a grand time. And then, now, later, about 3 weeks later, I was back in that area. How many of you have been in the military? Thank you. I really appreciate your service. And I appreciate the rest of you for back in the military. Okay, I came. How many of you know what an orderly room is? Of course, these guys do. Orderly room is a military room where the first sergeant runs that room, and everybody reports to that room, and that room stays open 24 hours a day with someone by the phone, basically. So I was in the area, and I walked on the insulation, or drove on insulation. I walked into the orderly room, and there was a first sergeant, and there was a sergeant major there with him. Now, both these guys, almost as high rank as you can get and enlisted in the military. And as I walked in, I heard them talking. And I heard the sergeant major say to the first sergeant, said, and sir, said he turned them loose while they were under the water. And they were real concerned, you know. And I just walked in, and I walked over to them, and I said, "I'm the guy that turned them loose." I thought that was pretty. So we got to testify, got to share a little bit more there. And that is, that's so, those kind of things are so rich. We had a, I'm going to tell you, I think, two more stories. There's just so many stories. I might have shared part of some of them when I was here preaching sometime. But we lived, my wife and I, when we went to Europe, we had a five-month-old baby girl and a four-year-old son. And the girl was in diapers. And for you people who don't know, they were cloth diapers. Is it because one reason, probably because we couldn't afford any more and any other kind? Well, my wife washed out cloth diapers. Once in a while I did too, but I'm sure glad she did. And in the bathtub, because where we lived, we lived on the third floor of, you that have not, don't know, most of you know, but I can remember when I first, pictures, see Germany and those tall brick buildings and narrow streets and literally narrow sidewalks and some of their days are dreary days. And well, we lived in one of those houses, in one of those buildings. It was 95 years old. You go up the steps up to the last floor. And eventually, when we got a washer and dryer, it was in the basement. And that's the fourth floor. And our apartment, we had three rooms. Every room, the ceiling came down, the roof came down just like that. In the kitchen, it came across right down to the counter. If you were going to look out the window, there was a window, a dormer, and you could walk right up to the sink and stand straight up at the sink because there was a window there. And there's other stories about that. And when we got there, it wasn't ready. It was just a lot of fun. And my son slept on a couch in the living room. Same ceiling. My wife and I, with a baby girl, slept in the bedroom, and the bedroom was large enough to put a half bed and a baby bed, and that's all. So my wife and I slept for 2 years on a half bed, a cot. If we wanted to roll over, we'd do it together. We've never been closer. And I'll say this to you, and we've talked about it. Those 2 years, not because we had to sleep in that little bed, but because we dropped our insurances, we couldn't afford it. $200 a month, it wasn't much money, I tell you. But we didn't complain. But those 2 years were the greatest, and we'll tell you today, were the greatest years, 2 years of our lives. Those 2 years. Just because of we were involved head over heels in ministry and it was just fantastic what God did. Now, on that level, there was another room. And that room was for GIs. You see, some of you lived in the barracks, I'm sure, haven't you? I have too. And living in the barracks is hard to do if you're a Christian, especially starting out. Because, you know, the military guy, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to find all the women you can find and drink all the booze you can get. You know, it's what you're supposed to do. That's kind of the message that the atmosphere gives you. They don't tell you that right out, but it's hard. So we had a place where guys or girls, mainly the guys, when they got saved or when they just needed to get out of the barracks for a weekend or whatever, they could come and stay there in that room. Well, guess what? We all shared the same bathroom. And there was no hot water in our kitchen. So we had to go to the bathroom to get hot water for the kitchen. But that's all right. We didn't complain. We never did. And we never have till yet. We didn't complain then. And that's where my wife washed out the diapers. We hadn't been there long, and she was washing out diapers in that tub, and something happened in her back, and she couldn't straighten up, and she couldn't stand the pain. Finally, I got some help, and we finally got her to bed, and she couldn't move. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. Eventually, of course, we prayed and prayed and prayed. Eventually, she got better. Never got over it. Her back hurt her constantly. And what was her job? Her job was seeing that I did a good job. And that was harder than my work. She, besides taking care of the kids, also GIs, young GIs. My wife was 25 years old, and she could identify with young guys and young people. And anyway, they would see her kind of like a mom, and they would bring their concerns to her, and she was able to help them. She cooked for them, and especially on weekends, she cooked for many, many. And right up in our apartment, sometime downstairs where we had service, and constantly, constantly, constantly. One day, we had a group of Pioneers for Christ. If you've been in Church of God a long time, you know that young groups out of college that would go anywhere around the world and they would minister, a group of college students. They came over, a young, about six of them, and they stayed there, some of them with us. And there was a nurse. One of them was a nurse. 2:30 in the afternoon, my wife was just walking, whatever she was doing in the room, and she keeled over. And the nurse said later said, fatigue. She wore herself out. Well, the 8 years we were there, she did destroy her health. She's been suffering from it ever since. But the story I'm telling you is about her back. Every month for 2 or 3 days, she'd have to be in bed. It had nothing to do with the lady's cycle either. Every month. Well, 8 years we lived there, and that was the first fall that we were there, so all that time. And traveled, she'd sit in the car, and I'd drive it. Floorboard, no speed limits on the Autobahn. And I'd drive fast as it would run. That Volkswagen Beetle would go 85 downhill. Drove wide open all the time. Then finally I got a car that would run 140. Didn't have to go downhill for that one. But my wife would take care of the kids. There were no McDonald's. No drive-through. We'd take food with us. We'd take food in the trunk and a little burner. Little gas Coleman burner. And we'd stop along a rest area and we'd take 10 plates and my wife would fry us up bacon and so on. But she traveled. We traveled and she had that burden all the time. Besides, she had to be sure that I did things right in the office, etc. Because she was a perfectionist and extremely good office manager and office worker. She knew all about that. Anyway, we came back from there and we moved to Denver, Colorado to create the ministry to the military statewide in the 50 states. And I was doing that when I met your pastor. Well, one day while we were living there, one day my wife was invited to speak to the ladies of one of the local churches. Not local churches, local military installation. And so they They gathered in a library. There wasn't a lot of them there, but they were in the library, and she was the guest speaker. I might have mentioned this to you. I don't think so. She was the guest. But guess what? When it come time, she was in bed. She couldn't get up because of her back. She couldn't make it. And I said, call them up and tell them you came in. She said, I've got to make it. I've got to make it. And so she struggled. Now, she was well experienced in pretending that she had no pain. She'd get behind the pulpit up here. She'd come here and talk. And you'd never know that she had. That's like, if you want to hear her and be convinced she has no pain, call her up. On the telephone, you never know it. And she's dying, but on the telephone. And sometimes at home, I say, honey, I'm going to go out somewhere and call you. You sound so good and like there's not a thing wrong on the phone. Everybody says that. Anyway, she was good. So she struggled and she made it. She went. There weren't very many. There were 17 ladies there. She spoke to them. And after she spoke to them, she says, anybody want prayer? This is 10 years later now, from time her back got hurt. Anybody need prayer? So some of them came up and she prayed for them and so on. And then that was over. And she was getting ready to surrender her service back to the lady in charge. And one young lady sitting over here by herself said, Margie needs prayer. God knows. God knows your need. Margie needs prayer. She said, let's pray for Margie. And she called some of the ladies to come up forward. And she came up forward. I still get choked up when I think about it because it's so great. And this girl slid a chair behind Margie and said, sit down, we'll pray for you. Now, Margie's back was hurting her so bad from where it started all the way down both legs and out her toes, literally. Pain. Well, just as soon as they started praying, this girl put her hand on the very spot where it started. Margie said it felt warm. And that warmth moved down her legs and out her toe. And the pain went with it. You see, I know God cares for us. And I'm looking for that angel again for Margie. Margie came home and moved furniture for the first time in 10 years. Can you say praise the Lord? God cares as much for you. And He still cares for Margie. And I said, God, where's that angel? No one met her after church. She wasn't there. Don't tell me that the New Testament is the only place that God sends angels and does great things. He still does. And He has someone dispatched for your need too. Maybe right when you're not even expecting it. We weren't expecting it then, but it happened. One other story I'm going to tell you, and that's all. I think. I got information that there was a pastor's son stationed in Kenitra, Morocco. Naval base, and that he was backslidden away from God, and could we do anything? Well, I scheduled a trip from Kaiserslautern, Germany to Kenitra. And when I got on the plane, I had to change planes in Rome. And in Rome, when I got on the plane, the plane was full of Arabs coming back from Mecca. All of them had white robes on with hoods. All of them. And That's a story I need to tell you sometime, but I won't sidetrack into it now. Anyway, we got on the plane. I got on the plane. And sitting beside of me were four Americans. It's the only people besides Arabs on the whole plane. And we got started talking. These four people were from Colorado. One of the men's name was Joe Red. He owned a farm at Four Corners in Colorado. And, of course, I hadn't lived in Colorado then, so I didn't feel the connection. But so we got started talking. I said, "What are you guys doing?" "We're making a trip around the world." Well, I said, "That's exciting." And after a while, he said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm going." I said, "I'm going to Morocco, to Kenitra." He said, "What are you going to do there?" I said, "Well, there's a soldier there, a young Navy guy stationed there." And I said, "He's away from God. And I'm going down to see if I can help him." Looked at me and he says, "Don't tell me you're going all the way from Kaiserslautern, Germany, to Morocco to see one guy?" I said, "Joe, I've got a boy. He's going to grow up. If he gets away from God, there's no place too far for anybody to travel to help my son." Mission was well accomplished. God came and blessed the boy. He came back to Christ and brought his friends. And there's more to the story, but I'll tell you that at another time. But I want to tell you, there's no place too far. What was it that the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost? How far did he come? How come he, far did he come for you? He knows you're here. He knows you're hurting. How far was that? I didn't have to die for that guy. Jesus had to die for me. So I'm telling you today, if your son or your daughter, there's no place too far for someone to travel. If you can't get there, there's no place too far for your child. And God has dispatched, maybe dispatched angels for us here today. He certainly. Now, I want to tell you this. God heals. Okay, God heals. We've experienced that. I just shared the great one. One of the great ones. Jesus did not come. Now listen closely, or you might say something that I'm not meaning to say if you tell it. Jesus did not come to heal our bodies. Listen close. Jesus did not come to give us money. Jesus did not come to work things out our way. Jesus came to keep us out of hell. That's the only reason he came. But he loved us so much, he tagged on some bonuses. I'm so glad he did. I know people, if things don't go their way, Christians, things don't go their way, they're down in the dumps. Well, they're not going to hell. They're Christians. Why are you down in the dumps? You're not going there. Now, I know a lot of preachers, they don't want to mention stuff like in church anymore. We're living in a different day. We're still living by the Bible. Bow your head for a moment with me, please. Our Father, I thank you this morning. You sent Jesus because you loved us. You didn't want us to go to hell. And it cost him his life. God, Father, I have a son. Could I give him? I don't know. I guess if I had to, you'd give me the grace. But right now, you gave your son because you love us. Father, you love these people, every person here in this building. Every person you love, and you gave Jesus. You gave Jesus so they won't have to go to hell. Jesus told us, I was sent to seek and to save the lost, and as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. God, I pray this morning, help us to realize that what we're doing as individuals, whether we're in church or not, what we're doing is saving people out of hell. They won't have to go. They won't have to go. And you gave us the bonus of healing, the bonus of blessings. Oh, you give us financial blessings. You give us friends, wonderful friends. Just like here, God, I have wonderful friends right here. And I thank you for them. And God, you have blessed them to give them great friends. And thank you for it. You touch us. You reached down into our hearts. You've taken out the evil. You've taken out the bad. And
if they'll seek my face, if they'll confess their sins, if they will turn from their wicked ways. Bubba, that's not the world. God is talking to us. If you will do that, I will hear their prayers. I will heal their land. God meant it or he's lying. I don't believe God lies. I don't believe God lies. There may be someone you know today. There may be some in here today that these words have absolutely, they've hit your heart like a hammer. I wish you wouldn't have said that. Because old memories have come back up. Old feelings have come back up. I wish I could do for you. I wish I could reach in there and I could take all the hurt and all the pain. I would do it in a New York second. But I can't. But I know one that says, you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me. There's where we need to go. And if you're here, that's where you need to go. There ain't a counselor in the world going to do anything for you except the one that points you to Jesus Christ. That's the only one. Sanctity of life. All life is precious. All life is precious. When you see the refugees pouring out of Syria, and this is a real quandary for me, believe. Pray. Pray. I don't have the answer, God, but you do. I pray for their well-being. I pray for their health. I pray for their families. God's hearing you. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father might be glorified. When glorified God, ask something in the name of Jesus. Ask him, what do I do? Maybe he's got something for you to do. Maybe he'll call you to go to Greece and meet them as they come off the boat. Don't snicker. You never know. what God's going to do. If you know somebody today, not an obtrusive way or anything, maybe just pick up your phone, call them up, and say, I love you and I'm praying for you. That's all they got to know. I love you and I'm praying for you. Jesus loves you. They're in enough hurt today as this whole rigmarole is going on around our country. So I pray, Father, this morning, quicken our hearts to pray for those who have experienced this horrendous, horrendous procedure. I pray, Lord, for their hearts. I pray, Lord, for their minds. Their hearts that would be regenerated, born again, for their minds that would not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by your renewing power. You love life. You love life. Teach us, Lord, that the life of the little snail, darter, fish, and the whales are important. But you didn't make them in your image. You made us in your image. We're like you, Lord. So these who are suffering this horrible thing, I pray, Lord, that hurt, that gaping wound in their heart would be filled by your love. I wish we could do something. But Lord, we can pray. We can pray. We can help. God, give us the instinct within ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you here today, let me ask you one question, and we're going to go. Angela's going to come for a second. How many of you get upset when you pull in to Walmart, you pull into Safeway, some dude pulls up in his sports car and drives right up into the handicap zone, jumps out of his car, sprints over to the store, walks over there, and taking that handicap. Does that bother anybody? That's part of the reason why I can't carry all the time, because there's some people I just think need to be shot just for principles. Why does that stir you up so bad? Why does that get to you so much?
Injustice.
I pray that God will take what we remember today and not let it go in the week that's ahead. Don't let it go. But let us become something that drives us to see a change in our world. Amen. Amen. Come up, Angela. Angela's got some good news after all the bad news.